Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Ron and Don Show. My name is Don Allen in Studio A, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you on this beautiful Saturday morning?
Fine, Dr. Allen. And you're right, it's a beautiful day out there, though it's a little windy and a little chilly, but it's still a beautiful day. You know, they've been predicting a fairly decent weekend, though they said yesterday it was going to snow, but it obviously didn't come close to snowing. A lot of things going on. Unfortunately, a lot of violence continues. A riot at one of our largest hospitals here in the state of Minnesota, North Memorial. There in Robbinsdale, as many as 75 Negroes were involved in a pitched battle, if you will, fought on all four floors of the hospital. This was confirmed by witnesses and et cetera and interviewed. Six different law enforcement jurisdictions had to be brought in.
Wow.
In fact, at one point, they were so upset, the administrators at North Florida were so upset that they were prepared to ask the governor for possibly even military police. You know, I mean, that's how bad it got. So we got that going on. And also we have at one time, very high-profile murder case. We'll be talking about that this morning also. Susan Suller, 68-year-old Caucasian woman, at the time of her death, an African-American who was 14 years old at the time, is allegedly the murderer. But it just doesn't match up. But we'll be dealing with that later on in the program. Don, what else we got, man?
Yeah. We have some interesting things going on here in St. Paul with the mayor, the police chief, the superintendent of schools all attended a city council meeting to ask for some money to address the violence. And as promised, Mr. Edwards, I just, since you're the historian, the premier historian in Minnesota, we have to go back. You can go back further than the empowerment zone and talk about large sums of money that were put into local agencies to address these problems, both in Minneapolis and St. Paul. But also, we have to talk about the outcomes, or the lack of outcomes in this case. And why is it that every time, you know, there's a large amount of cash, I'm talking about millions of dollars, to address the plight of the black and the brown people in Minnesota, there are a few handlers on the top tier that receive nice salaries, nice vacations, and make nice money, and the problem is never solved. And so this is now a generational system created, man-made created, and it goes on and repeats and repeats. I don't think the worth of the black folks and the violence in the black community is $3 million. I don't think $3 million can solve anything. And we'd like to thank all our listeners coming in on Facebook Live. But also, what do we do? What do we do in this case when the best thing that we have going is to ask someone, and I don't know who that person or who that group is, for $3 million to address violence? And one more thing I'd like to get in here. We have Mary Jo Copeland, Sharing and Caring Hand in North Minneapolis. She's fed and housed thousands of our people. She does not take one penny in government funding.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. And our local flagship agencies who have remained silent, the NAACP, the Minneapolis Urban League, the St. Paul NAACP, all these groups that are set to address violence, address the state of the black and brown person in this state as well as the country, have remained silent. So $3 million is not enough money. That's what I'm saying right now. I don't know what amount is, but where do we start? You have the Northside Achievement Zone, $35 million plus. The Empowerment Zone before that, there's another $35, $40 million plus. And a lot of people made a lot of money, but there was never any results. And still we have, you know, children committing murders. I'm talking about anywhere from 15 to 21 years old, 23 years old in St. Paul alone. So our knee-jerk reaction is to ask for some supplemental funding. I mean, I don't understand
well,
this, Mr. Edwards.
I don't know, you know, Mr. Allen, your point is well made. The history indicates, though, that this is not our first rodeo, if you will. This has been going on since clearly in the mid-1960s. But folks say that we're toxic on this program and bring up stuff that we shouldn't. Let's move ahead. Let's not talk about yesteryear, if you will. Not talk about the past, et cetera. So, you know, I've embraced that challenge, if you will, and I just watch. But you know, I'll do this for you. There is an individual who, in fact, he is the assistant commissioner of public safety. His name is Booker T. Hodges. Booker Hodges.
Yes.
Born, raised in North Minneapolis in the projects there, and at one time back in 2010, 2011, he was president of the NAACP of Minneapolis, if you will. He wrote an article in the paper called The Spokesman Recorder, and he pointed out that back in the early late 80s and 1990, that over $20 million was poured into the African-American community, $20 million. And he broke it down, you know, much of the money went to the ministers and the different organizations that were put together. In fact, at that time, Sharon Sale Felton was the mayor of our beloved city here in Minneapolis, the first woman and first African-American, double historical importance there. And $20 million was poured into organizations, primarily nonprofits and ecumenical, and it was to be settled in. In fact, what happened at the same time, Minneapolis turned into Murderapolis, and I think we had, with that particular one year, we had like 70-some individuals shot and killed, wounded, stabbed, beaten, and et cetera. So it's always been there. The only thing is it seems to be dropping in the amount. We're down to $3 million. I don't know. You know, the leadership will have to speak to that, address that, if you will. I heard a program on another urban station last Sunday, and a woman that used to call in this program called and talked in terms that we shouldn't air our dirty laundry, whatever that's supposed to mean. And then, you know, you have all of these acts of violence and et cetera, and no one, everyone in private settings, like when they go down to meet with the Minneapolis Foundation or the Northwest Area Foundation or the McKnight Foundation, et cetera, they all indicate that they have a solution. That's key. They have a solution. Now, I kind of try to wonder where these individuals are when these acts of violence take place in Fayetteville City, if you will. Some folks are upset now with Mayor Melvin Carter because he did not take a piece of money that was going to be funneled to the city through an organization called GVI, if you will, Gang Violence Initiative, Group Violence Initiative. In fact, they're getting ready in Minneapolis to create the Office of Public Safety. You know, we don't have enough public safety offices, if you will, in Minnesota. And they are going to open that office and roll some additional monies. In fact, there's a proposal before the big, powerful Minneapolis City Council to take an additional $1.5 million to $2 million from the Minneapolis Police Department. And I guess that at some point in Minneapolis, you just won't have any enforcement, if you will. Homeboys will take care of that, if you will. They'll make sure that you're safe in your home, you know, in your car, in your place of business, in the nightclubs or et cetera. So that's the way that the historical pages are now being turned. in our beloved state of Minnesota and et cetera. The folks say they have the solution. Now, there's a big meeting going on. It will start at 10 o'clock and over in your part of town there, Mr. Allen, at Hamline, a big, powerful Hamline University, big liberal school. That program will go from 10 to 2. Lunch will be served. And they are going to be talking about some things under the leadership of Justin Terrell, the head of the used to be the Council on Black Minnesotans, he's called something else now, Senator Jeff Hayden, South Minneapolis, if you will, a whole host of other individuals, people like Dr. Mahmoud Al-Khati will come forward and speak to the historical aspects of how to end the violence, if you will, and et cetera. And so I don't know how much money will come out of that. I'm not sure. I hope it's enough to keep the Urban League alive in Minneapolis, because you forgot to mention, but then I realized there is no Urban League anymore in St. Paul. So anyways, both NAACP, now the NAACP Minneapolis and the Urban League of Minneapolis got a nice chunk of money from Comcast. Even the media people are passing money around in the black community to deal with the problem. But again, for those that are listening, have their computers handy, go call it up, if you will. Comcast has a national program helping the colored community deal with the problem of violence and et cetera. So we got all this going out there right now. As I said, we're trying to explain the big brawl, riot they had there. People were in their hospital rooms and et cetera, were feared for their lives. Close to 75 young Negroes fought, battled. As I said earlier, six law enforcement jurisdictions called in. So I don't know. I know that there are some of us that are not welcome and not invited to participate, and probably because we're too old. And I can only speak for myself. We're too old, too antique, too ancient, if you will, and then that makes us toxic. So that's the way I look at it. And by the way, phone lines are open here, if you will. Anybody, want to call in, chill a little bit, talk in terms of, how the money is being spent. But we're at 347-426-3904. Again, that's 347-426-3904. Trying to catch up and join with our political leaders and ecumenical leaders in a separate meeting at Hamline University in St. Paul, Minnesota, as we speak. Meeting starts at 10 and goes until 2. They're going to feed you, too. So they can tell me they got brought in some good chicken and, mashed potatoes and stuff like that. So, but again, phone lines are open. Anybody got any kind of questions, because there's just some of us that just aren't smart enough to know what it takes. But go ahead, Mr. Allen. You got any calls? You got any thoughts?
Yeah. The phone lines are open, 347-426-3904, if you'd like to call in. But, yeah, we don't have any callers right now, but we have a lot of people in the queue, Mr. Edwards, that are listening. And it's very, I understand. Oh, hey, we do have a caller. The producers tell me, Mr. Edwards, that this is a Mr. M from his palatial estate in the South Side. Mr. M, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Sam. How you doing, brother? What did you have for us? Because we're trying to deal with the violence. I mean, we're not. Well, I'm not qualified to deal with it. But what you got? What you thinking?
Well, I've been, as I do, I tend to monitor these situations because actually what it comes down to is my personal safety and the safety of my loved ones is really at stake in the environment that we're living in here. So that, kids and grandkids, so I'm very concerned what's going on. And I guess one question I wanted to kind of bring up is, I know the mayor is, really kind of in St. Paul, really trying to get things together. He's got a big job. And I know that there have been some historical organizations in St. Paul, such as one, St. Paul NAACP. And I brought this up before. You know, I don't really hear any voice or anything from an NAACP. So I did a little research on the organization, and mm-hmm. I do see that they do have a website, St. Paul office,
yeah.
St. Paul. There is no brick and mortar office, but it has officers. It has a president, a young female. She appears to be Somali.
Yes.
There's a first vice president, a pastor, Richard Pittman.
A relative of Mr. Allen. In fact, Mr. Allen was supposed to be trying to get him to come on the air. I think he told Don he was really tied up and busy, maybe in a couple of weeks. Is that correct, Don? I don't want to misspeak. Is that correct? Pittman?
Yes. That is correct.
Yeah.
And they
but go ahead, Tim.
Well, they seem to have a board, you know, a treasurer and at-large members. Maybe I should address this to Mr. Allen, you know, if he can kind of, you know, divorce himself from the, you know, issues with 45, his guru. But I just, you know, is there anything you know about the St.
Yay!
Paul Urban?
Okay, from... Here goes the deal, Em, and you know I'm going to keep it as real as I possibly can with you. People are set out on a task in the black community to address certain boutique issues. The NAACP in St. Paul has really no money. They don't have a charter. They don't have an agenda, and any agenda will not be self-internally created. It will be an agenda given to them or what is most popular at this particular time. See, if you look at historically at the NAACP, it was a lightning rod for social justice and to get things done correctly for people of color, period.
But
what it turned into is a social, you know, I'm on the board of the NAACP. I'm this, I'm that. And you ask them, what do they do? Which is always my question and your question and Mr. Edwards' question. They are offended as if we've cussed them out and talked about their mothers. And all we want to know is like, okay, what do you do? I know that in St. Paul, for the St. Paul NAACP, I can speak on this, that there is a slew of homeless folks. Might not be their problem. There are a slew of unemployed people. Might not be their problem. The schools are dramatically, if you go to the Minnesota Department of Education, you pull up almost any school in St. Paul, for the African-American child is below average of every other kid except for the Native Americans. They're not addressing that. They should. Education is a civil right. It's a law. Your kids have to be educated. But yet, you have people in these positions that couldn't bust a grate with a sledgehammer. So what do you do to attract it? If you tell them, hey, you need to focus on this. There's no folks over here. There's no Korean. There's no black. There are those Native American instructors in any of these schools. What are you going to do to change that? They wouldn't know where to start. They don't have the acumen, and it's the innocence of not knowing and the arrogance of not asking how. So it's a huge, huge challenge, because when you approach these people, sometimes I see, you know, the first vice president of the NAACP is my first cousin, Richard Pittman. I know him well. And I know I could get his ear and tell him something if I have to, because he's always over at my brother's house talking, and my brother tells him stuff, and we haven't been able to connect. And how do you tell someone what's going on that might not have the cognitive ability to discern which direction to address it? And if he or she or whoever did bring it back to the NAACP, what is the mentality of the people on the board to understand this issue? See, like the Minneapolis Urban League was meant to serve the middle class. They changed to serve poor people. you let 200 poor people walk into the Minneapolis Urban League and try to get service. They will be looked down upon, probably asked to leave, and a lot of bad things would happen because some folks have grown accustomed to their lifestyles, and they think that they do not serve this lower one-third of the community. And
well, let me
this
let
is
me
not,
do this. Because I'm puzzled. I'm a card-carrying NAACP member, even though was expelled for, you know, raising issues of corruption and the NAACP all the way up to the national office, if you will. And in fact, I had an impeachment trial. Hey, I feel good about that. I had an impeachment trial, and in fact, they had it, and there was, you know, nice support there. But, you know, the national said that I had to be punished. And see, I don't shy away from talking about it because we get to talk in terms of people like, you know, Reverend Gallman and people like that. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm sorry. And so here's the thing that I'm talking about. Now, you've got some information there on your computer. And it shows the roster of the St. Paul NAACP. Now, its structure is exactly the same everywhere else across the country in every branch. And that's what an NAACP is called, a branch. And so it has many, many committees. And then also it has a state conference. The state conference is basically comprised of Duluth, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Rochester, and Fargo, Moorhead, if you will, where they have a large educational branch up there. So anyways, they have all kinds of committees. They have housing committee, they have law enforcement committee, they have economic development committee. Of course, they have executive committee, as you talked about. They got all kinds of committees. Now, with all of them committees and all of them good people working, and they have a nice mix. They have, you know, they are, it's kind of like what's happening in the Congress. You know, it's nonpartisan, if you will. Now, I'm puzzled, Jim. I need help here. Why is it that, and by the way, when is the last time that the NAACPs of both cities and the Urban League in Minneapolis issued a manifesto? And see, we used to, years and years and years ago, we used to make annual reports to the community.
Yes.
But
sure
we
did.
Were told, older Negroes like myself were told, that wasn't in vogue. That wasn't chic. And we don't need to do that. And the modernization of America allowed us to post it and et cetera. Well, I haven't even seen any posting. Now, Mr. Allen, does the NAACP, do they come to city council meetings there in St. Paul, the beloved city of St. Paul? And do they ask to be put on the agenda, to the best of your knowledge? Do you know?
From what I see, Mr. Edwards, if there is an incident with a police officer, they might. Unfortunately, I'm working during the day, so I haven't been to any St. Paul City Council meetings. But the pictures that I see, I do not see any representation of the St. Paul NAACP, and it's unfortunate because. I mean, they should be at the table at some point, but if they're not, they are not. I'm asking why not? Because we have the leader of St. Paul putting a price tag on $3 million, and the main concern is getting some shot spotters. And if you know about the history of shot spotters in Minneapolis, Congressman at the time, Keith Ellison, Amy Klobuchar, Al Franken, and R.T. Ryback all signed off on that, and there was one of the things that Congressman Ellison at the time did do for North Minneapolis is signed off on that $500,000 to get that those shot spotters installed over there behind the stadium and all throughout North Minneapolis and South Minneapolis, actually, in the 5th Congressional District, that have been used, you know, for law enforcement to, you know, get to the place where the shot was fired. They're very accurate, satellite-based technology, and I think that's great, but will a shot spotter stop the violence? And without doing any research off the top of my head, I have to say no.
Well, let me say, I'm a man who
well,
comes
like
from the old Yeah, and we'll get you in here, Em. I'm a person that comes out of the old British approach of governance, if you will. And so I just assume that they, over in Minneapolis, as an example, they're, which has the same kind of structured base as St. Paul, and as I said, all other branches, state conferences, and then, of course, the big, powerful National Board of the NAACP. Urban League has something about this, along the same lines, but a little bit more sophisticated, according to, you know, those folks. Now, Tim, are you looking at anything on the posting for the NAACP of Minneapolis where they're indicating any position papers or pronouncements or manifestos with regards to the problem? Because, see, I'm being told, and there's a big meeting right now, it'll be starting in about 45 minutes at Hamline University. And all the heavy hitters will be there. Senator Jeff Hayden, if you will. Justin Terrell, the powerful leader of what was formerly the Council on Black Minnesotans. It's called what now, John? What is it called now?
Council of Minnesota's okay. African Heritage.
Okay. Now, the Somalis have taken that over. Somalis have kind of taken that over and said that the African Americans, of course, the Somalis are taking a lot of casualties now. I hate to use that military terminology, but the Somalis are taking a lot of casualties here. I think, in fact, at least 11 Somalis have been shot and killed since you know, 1st of February. So should we expect, or is it too much to expect, gentlemen, that we should be seeing position papers, manifestos, and et cetera, that help the poor, beleaguered, quote-unquote, African-American community, and particularly individuals such as ourselves, because I don't think that any of you are in the so-called inner circle. In fact, did any of you get any invitation to the confab at Hamline this morning?
No, first I've heard of it. And this, you know, if I could just tag on to what you were saying earlier, Mr. Edwards, you know, as a St. Paul Urban League, as I look at it, when you say committees, communications, social, criminal justice, education, economic development, executive, finance, freedom fund, health, housing, membership. Where are these people? Political action, address, press and publicity, religious affairs, youth work. Where are these people? I mean, all these things are going on, and they don't put the word out. All I see is they want donations. Now, they do want that. They have a calendar with nothing on the calendar in St. Paul. Now, in Minneapolis, they have a beautiful picture. And this picture, I have seen this picture. One of the pictures on there is a picture of the St. Peter's AME Church back in the 30s that was taken by a very famous photographer that I found out that photographer is actually out of Utah. And it's on their site.
My God, out of Utah. Okay.
A wonderful picture. I mean, it is just a wonderful picture of that church. It's interracial. It's fantastic. But, I mean, this is back in the 30s. And then they have a new picture that seems to be, a lot of younger people, a lot of community people. Welcome.
I saw some of those pictures in the Scott Collection, the late Walter Scott.
Yes.
Who put together a tremendous pictorial history and et cetera. I remember seeing that picture. Okay. So,
but nothing of substance.
What is the correlation? What is the correlation between the nice pictures and the committee?
It really doesn't seem to be. I mean, it has the picture, and then it has a new picture of some younger individuals on the Minneapolis Post, but. It has something of happenings and events, but there aren't any. It has no events yet.
Wait a minute. I have to correct you then.
That's on the site. I'm looking at the site.
As a former NAACP member, there's got to be a calendar of events and activities because you got the Freedom Fund dinner, if you will, right? you've got all committee meetings, all committees under the auspices and the directive of the national NAACP, the state conference, and in between is the national director of branches, if you will, of the NAACP. Now, they are supposed to have a current calendar of every committee, and you've named, my God, I didn't want to interrupt you, but you've named at least 17 to 18 committees. Now, I assume that those committees have reported to the, and see, this is important in the NAACP, the membership, okay? The membership, because the NAACP is a membership organization. The Urban League is not, by the way. By its constitution, is not actually a membership organization, but it still functions to deal with current issues and events important to the Negro race. Now, you're saying to me, my brother, that there's nothing on the events calendar?
Absolutely.
Things that good for the Negro in the Twin Cities?
Absolutely. Zilch. Zilch. I mean, and then we go to something called Happenings. They talk about the Super Bowl, and they're going back to mentioning, you know, Yanez and, you know, the sad, sorry Castile situation. But I mean, nothing
that's
current.
That happened 2 years ago. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we've had
nothing
a couple African Americans shot and killed since then by the police. But go ahead. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry.
And then another thing, you know, it says Minneapolis NAACP condemns deportation of Cambodian refugees. And
Cambodians.
You know.
Okay. They're from Cambodia, which is in Southeast Asia, right? Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, everything is dated. I mean, nothing current, nothing, you know, but they want donations. But, I mean, I really would like to support such an organization because
well,
it's sorely needed.
Well, let me ask you a question, sir. At the end, as an NAACP, when you say they ask for donations and you read the roster, one of the things that you are required to do, even though they is a nonprofit, I hate to talk kind of like that, they is a nonprofit organization, they are supposed to post monthly their receivables, you know, in other words, income coming in, going out, et cetera. Now, is there a financial statement there, sir?
No, there's nothing, no, absolutely not.
Well, what about, Mr. Allen, what about the one in St. Paul? I know they report the fiscal, because, you know, by the way, the St. Paul NAACP is legendary because it was the home, quote, unquote, of the beloved Roy Wilkins, if you will. Later become national director of the NAACP. So, are there financial statements?
No. I think M is actually looking at St. Paul NAACP. There is nothing there at all whatsoever under financial information.
You must be providing fake news. I cannot believe.
Oh no!
Mr. Allen, in your case, I remember that you didn't you take out? Aren't you still paying on the life membership of the NAACP?
Oh, I am done with that because, you know, as you know, a life membership. Let me just find that right place. Calendars. Yeah, there's nothing on the calendar. There's nothing here anywhere. A life membership is $750. And there's nothing. They do have a become a member page, and I'm probably looking at the same thing that Mr. M is looking at. And Silver Life membership is 10 annual payments of $750. I've done that a long time ago and still haven't gotten a card. But anyway, and or your full payment
you
is $750.
You have got an NAACP card, silver card? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Allen. I'm sorry that cutting you off. I'm puzzled because on the document, on the screen of the computers that both you gentlemen are taking a look at, there's also a gentleman supposed to be a NAACP life membership committee because at the Freedom Fund, I don't know when's the last time they had a Freedom Fund dinner, but at the Freedom Fund dinner, you know, you were supposed to recognize these individuals, irrespective of race, creed, color, or national origin, who have purchased life memberships in the NAACP, and particularly, quote-unquote, the beloved Lifetime Silver our membership. Now, wait a minute. Now, you guys are just trying to sabotage somebody. I can't believe that all of that impertinent information. Because, see, I will suggest, Mr. Allen, that we contact the state conference president. I think it's an African-American out of Rochester, Minnesota, and he's a member of the Rochester branch. Because don't you think, Mr. M., that it would be appropriate to have him kind of explain the many fine things that the NAACP is doing? Oh, by the way, is there on the Minneapolis information, I'm not able to bring my computer in on that. I'm loaded already. Is there a reflection on the Comcast money? Do you know what I'm talking about, Mr. M.? The Comcast money. That's the money that's been given out by Comcast to Negro organizations, including the NAACP.
Yeah.
And both the NAACP and Urban League of Minneapolis received a nice piece of money from Comcast to deal with, to deal with violence and gun violence. In effect. Now, you must have missed that, Em, right? So that committee.
Well, I heard about that, of course, but as I go onto their sites, I mean, the sites just seem to be a facade. They just seem to be, both sites just seem to be a facade. They list committees. They ask you to join a committee in Minneapolis. You know, they have a child protection committee, arts and cultural committee, communications, criminal justice, and they list a chair, labor committee, behavioral health, prison reform. But, you know, it's clear that in looking at both of these, you know, just from the websites, and I'm sure that may not be a true indicator of their effectiveness. I mean, you know, usually they want to put that out there, so it should be. But what we're seeing is other entities, other cultural, you know, the Somalis, the Asians, you know, they're feeling a void. People see a void things. They come in and they can feel, they'll feel that void. And so we have not stepped up. You know, we're not involved with what we should be there with the mayor. These organizations should be part of these planning for these communities, and they should be engaging the rest of the community to get their response and their activeness to these things. So, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, especially the Somalis, they have been able to see that, hey, there's nothing here. We can just come right in and we can just, you know, we can fill that void because, you know, the ones that have been here are just bumps on a log at this point. I mean, that's
what
I'm saying.
Well, that's what the Somali leadership says about the native-born African sons and daughters of the African. By the way, just kind of stepping back a bit because there's so much. Is there a corporate sponsored committee? You know, to deal with the big white corporations. In fact, at one time, both Urban League and NAACP. And by the way, what is the name of the president of the Minneapolis NAACP? African-American female, if I'm not mistaken. Young lady came here from Washington, D.C. Is her name there? How can we contact her?
I'm looking at it. It says the president is Leslie Redmond. Second Vice President Anika Bowie, Second Vice President Angela Myers, Secretary Ruth James, Treasurer Cynthia Wilson, Norma Anderson, Criminal Justice Raj Sefaraya, Cultural Preservation Kawazi Russell, and Mental Health Chairs Jimmy Heggs and Jody Pitcher.
Okay, so these are all the powerful chairs of the powerful NAACP of Minneapolis. Now, were those the chairs in Minneapolis or St. Paul, or Dr. Allen?
That was Minneapolis.
Okay. And Ms. Hale is taking a look at that. When is their Freedom Fund? Oh, that's right. She said there's nothing on their event page. I was going to ask when their Freedom Fund dinner is going to be. I assume it'll be at one of the big white hotels out in the suburbs.
Mr. Edwards, if you click on branch meeting, it has the last branch meeting was February 6, 2017, from 12 to 3.
Don, we weren't supposed to die. Because the branch is required by its constitution and bylaws to meet on a regular basis, normally the second or third Sunday. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. M, as a younger person, you used to know folks that used to go to those meetings, Rich. In fact, they used to have those meetings a significant number of the time, Mr. M, at St. Peter.
They certainly
at
did.
At St. Peter's Church in Minneapolis. That's right. And then they would alternate. It was a period of time when they would alternate between Zion Baptist Church, which is Zion Baptist Church still functional? Does it still, is its doors still open? I
have
heard anything from its pastor.
I believe so. Yes, I believe they are functional. I'll say the doors are open. That's what I know. I mean, I have attended a few. Doors are open.
Okay, because I used to probably see you and some of your relatives at St. Peter's on that second or third Sunday, and was always a good gathering of anywhere from 60 to 70 people. In fact, they used to have some hotly contested elections when the boss man, the system, told them that the wrong kind of Negroes were getting into the organization. But we won't go into that.
Mr. Edwards, I think you really just touched on something there. You know, and I think a lot of people have missed that, because I happened to go to a service at St. Peter's just a couple of days ago. I've been here my whole life, so I have people that are kind of like distant relatives to me. You know, they're married to my cousin. And I go to the service at St. Peter, and I was talking to one of the long-term members. I mean, I know most of the people in there, even though I do not attend regularly. And they said, well, you know, they're down to about 50 members.
Mm. Ooh, and that's the constitutional number that you must have, because your branch can be disaffiliated if you fall under 50 cards.
No. What I'm saying is at St. Peter Church. Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's kind of sounds like Zion. Only 50 was
Zion
only has about 35.
They're down to 50 members. Okay. I tie that into what you're saying about having meetings at these churches. See, these churches had a real, I mean, the membership, the support, I mean, it kind of bled right into our community organizations, into our jobs.
Yes,
it was just a whole type of a cohesiveness, you know, that all tied together. I mean, the people that worked at the NAACP or the Urban League, they were members of these churches too, and they were organizers. And this was more than just a job. You know, this was something doing for the next generation, for the kids, being involved with what's going on at schools, having people come. And so this is where the breakdown, I mean, from my observation, and I mean, my humble observation, I mean, what, you know, people say, they're almost be calling me toxic. Now people are trying to say that I'm toxic all of a sudden.
They will put that label on you quickly in this city, normally acting under orders from the quote-unquote powerful Caucasian business community and sometimes even the police. But oops, I don't want to go in that direction. I have to do this because I'm getting text messages and people are saying, when are you going to speak on the injustice that has been carried out against a young African-American who allegedly at age 14 brutally murdered a white woman at 5100 DuPont Avenue, and Miss Susan Sullivan, a very, you know, active woman, a good friend of then Council President Bart Johnson. And I have been asked, gentlemen, for my comments, because people went back in the archives and pulled a couple articles that I had written when it was said by black ministers, in that we're kind of touching on the ecumenical community, that black ministers, and it's in the papers, gentlemen, so it's in the archives, had gone to the office of a powerful county attorney, Big Mike Freeman, and had said that they could deliver the person who murdered Susan Sellers in her home at 5100 DuPont Avenue. And it really never happened. But anyways, the authorities had maintained that they apprehended about 6-7 months ago a young African-American who, in fact, just had his 19th birthday Thursday. Just had his 19th birthday. And he had lived next door to the victim. In fact, I had reported that he was a very close friend. The Star Tribune crafted a story 2 days ago saying that the young Negro had lied that he had been in the house because, and I have to tell y'all this, I mean, that they had lifted a fingerprint 5 years ago that they identified as being his fingerprint, not fingerprints, but fingerprint. But the story in the Minneapolis Star Tribune went on to say that a piece of new information had come forward, and that was that the deceased was clenching in her hand a nail clipper, you know, what you clip your nails with, your fingernail. And there was a piece of a fingernail in the clipper, and they got his DNA off of it. And so they were able to convince the judge, Tanya Bransford, African-American female district court judge, to certify him as an adult. And he will be facing charges of second-degree murder and is looking at 40 years in the penitentiary. But people are saying to me that he was not the killer, that there was another person who was the killer, who himself was killed by orders of gangbangers out of Chicago because he had violated certain directives about his burglary activities. And said, but we don't even want to get into that. That takes up a whole program. But I was challenged just now by why were we not saying anything about that, and we just had gotten around to it. I assume that the Ministerial Alliance will be speaking on this, gentlemen. Would you not think so? With regards to if justice is being served with the decision to charge this young man with a capital crime and certify him as an adult. Either one of you have any observations, comments, or questions of me on that?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this, Mr. Edwards, a while ago, and at 14 years old, and from what the report that came out the other day, there was no context explaining that this young man was Ms. Spiller's next-door neighbor who had frequent contact with her, being the neighbor. And at he was 14 years old, there was no talk in any of the news media about the Ministerial Alliance saying that, you know, this person who did this heinous crime was put to death or assassinated in Chicago. There was no talk of this at all from any of the news agencies, which I found highly peculiar.
You are absolutely correct that there was no reflection in the article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, as if the ministerial group that met with Mike Freeman and then went across the street and met with then Council President Bob Johnson, said that they would deliver the murderer. And et cetera. Some reason or another, I was told yesterday by the Minneapolis Star Tribune that it is not an interest of public consumption. That's not in the best interest of public consumption, and it's not best for the community to do it. Just it's kind of like Mulvaney said, you know what I mean? Suck it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not really funny because a woman died a very tragic death, but I have no reason whatsoever to believe that this young man who just celebrated his 19th birthday, who allegedly killed this very loved and respected white woman, if you will, at age 14, is going to get any justice whatsoever. But hey, that's the way it operates, man, in our town, and our leadership is quite, maybe, I don't know, maybe Justin Terrell or somebody will talk about it at the end. Again, that meeting starts at 10, gentlemen, at Hamline University. And they said the first thing they're going to talk about on the agenda is marijuana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I should run down.
Yeah, marijuana. So that's going to be the first thing on the agenda. And then there may be some reflections, as I understand it, on violence and gun violence and real hard drugs and et cetera, and even cases of misjustice, if you will, misrepresentation as in the case of the young man, Mr. Witt, who will be taken to trial and will be found guilty. Mike Freeman has said he can guarantee that. One thing about my man, Mike Freeman, he will stand up and talk tough because he knows that when he gets a Negro down there, that the Negro going to be found guilty no matter what. By the way, Mike Freeman did something kind of peculiar, though, as we are in the last 7 or 8 minutes. Mr. Allen, and if M is still with us, not only Mike likes some television cameras, but I noticed the other day that his statement with regards to the consequences for the young African-American was in writing. I've never really seen Mike do a written statement. I don't know what that's about. I'm not smart enough to, you know, to know what that's about. But it was just kind of peculiar because, you know, normally in a situation in which, I mean, we saw that in the case of Muhammad Dorton and other people like that. I mean, we, you know, up here, I told some boys out in California, I said, we ride tough on Negroes up here. Okay. You know, we keep them flowing into the jails and et cetera. But anyways, I have been due diligence in a challenge that has been forthcoming about why are we not talking about some of these cold cases and some of these young African Americans that seem to be railroaded. But you know what, gentlemen? We talked in terms of a powerful organization that handles that. I bet you they've been handling that, and we just don't know it because we're not in the inner circle. And that's the NAACP. Okay?
Yes. Yeah, it's
so I don't know if we have any other calls, Mr. Allen. It's Saturday morning, people resting, sleeping in, that kind of thing. You know.
We have 8 minutes left of the show. We do have a caller. Caller, you're live with the Ron and Don Show. What's your question, comment, or concern? Go ahead. 0583, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. Is this Ron and Don?
Yes,
this
is
the Ron and Don and Ron program. What can we do for you, sir?
Wow. Excellent. I haven't heard this show since its inception, and so I was curious about the number, and I said, let me call this number, because I have a brother named Don, and he's trying to connect with the vice president of the NAACP, which is his cousin, Richard, and I just sent him an interesting text to tell him that Richard is very slow and very careful. He doesn't call you back right away. He doesn't meet right away. He might even set up a meeting with you and just switch it at the last minute because he's so busy. But I will give him that message for you, and I would love to hear, to, you know, to tune in. I got some computer speakers here when he calls in, and so I guess I got to monitor it. I don't know how late I am here calling you guys. Are you at the tail end of the show or are you at the beginning of the show?
We're at the tail end, but let me just say this, sir, whoever you are. Mr. Allen has been working tirelessly to encourage his cousin to join us on a Saturday morning and talk a little bit about all the things that the NAACP, not only of St. Paul, Minneapolis, but the state conference and, of course, the national NAACP. You know, I haven't really heard their position on the impeachment, if you will. You know, we have a couple African Americans on the impeachment. Oh, I'm sorry, supposed to be the Judicial Committee, but it's really turned into the Impeachment Committee. But we appreciate your assistance along with our colleague, Mr. Allen. We'd certainly like to have the NAACP representative. We want to balance.
I will surely, Mr. Ron, pass on the message for you. And
right,
I do also have connections with 67A campaigner, Mr. John Thompson, who I'm working with. He'd love to call your show as well.
How's John? Is John out of jail? Because John was arrested.
Yeah, John was in jail over the week.
Okay.
Yeah, a day ago he was in jail because they wouldn't let a family see a person that had supposedly committed suicide who was connected with his family. And he had a run-in with the racist, as he called them, Hennepin County Police Force over there. They're different from St. Paul. They're a little more ready to grab their tools of discipline and put people in their place, and that's just how it is. It's a bigger city, it's run different, and there's different people there. You come to St. Paul, it's a little calmer. They pack up the steps after 6 p.m. You can't really do anything. Minneapolis is ongoing. But anyway, nice talking to you, and I do have a connection
right,
with Sierra
as well,
who is the president, and she can call you.
All right, yeah, all right, Mr. Edwards.
All right, thank you. Take care. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Allen. Or somebody from the NAACP will be calling.
Yes,
what else?
Call.
We got any other calls? We want everybody in. We're close to finishing up Saturday morning. We want to thank Mr. M, who is involved with the Scott Collection, if you will, and has some fabulous materials, historical and et cetera, taken by some other African-American photographers. But what do we got, Mr. Allen, as we wrap it up, brother? You know, we're in America now.
We just want to ask our listeners to be very stay frosty and read between these headlines that are coming out with this media saturating you with especially this impeachment stuff, but also here locally with the this money grab that's getting ready to try to happen, because it's not meant to do anything to change the situation, but a lot of people are going to have, you know, fat pockets and new cars. And that's not the goal. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but if you're addressing the needs of the local citizens here in St. Paul and Minneapolis, then that might be okay. But historically, we have seen sales of up to $40 million plus where things don't change. So why would you give an agency anything over, you know, $30, $40 million and the circumstance remains the same for that particular community that you're focused on? That's ridiculous. That's insanity. But we sit back and we're offended by everything, and everything's toxic. And we're going to have to talk about this and get this in the public sphere to try to address it. Because obviously the politicians can't. And money is not going to really solve the problem.
Yes, we're correct about that, Don. And we sure would. And by the way, we will try to update next Saturday the latest developments on the People's Financial Institution. You remember we had that. That being monitored on behalf of the University of Minnesota by William English, who is the project director. We're not making that up. That was in the Minneapolis Star Tribune 3 weeks ago. And people have been asking Mr. Allen and myself, what's the update? Are the doors open? You know, are people able to get loans or to make deposits? And I said, I don't know, Mr. Allen. I've not heard anything.
Yeah, and I haven't heard a word of peep out of anybody, so I don't know what they're trying to do or what's going on behind the scenes, but it will come out eventually. So
all right.
We'll figure it out.
By the way, we also want to take a look at some of the individuals that have been convicted of felonies and sex crimes and et cetera, who now, you know, hold significant positions of importance, if you will. We have some things developing. And nobody wants to talk about the rehabilitation, if you know what I mean. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to take a look at, you know, how that is handled in the arena of media coverage, if you will. You know, maybe you got a job as associate editor of one of our papers or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because I'm hearing some bad vibes from some of the membership that's left at Zion Baptist Church about how a specific person is being designated to control content, and et cetera, to the broader base. And I said, I know that paper will deal with, you know, the volatility of sex crimes and et cetera in our beloved city. But anyways, Don, let James Brown take us on home, buddy.
Here we go. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.